Alti, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria and Switzerland.
Today's Alti interview is about the US presidential election that has just taken place. We want to analyze the causes of the results and why they occurred as they did. We speak with our guest from the Moscow Institute of Psychoanalysis, who holds a full professorship of international relations and neuropolitics at the Russian Presidential Academy of National Economy and Public Administration. I welcome Professor Dr. Vincenzo Ligorio. Hello and welcome in the virtual studio.
Hello, Christian, and thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to have a conversation with you and share our thoughts for your listener.
Thank you very much. Vincenzo, please introduce yourself briefly. What is the subject of your work?
Well, it's very easy because you already telling about my short bio. I work for university in Russia, and my main role is to develop international relations for this university. But on the same time, I'm an expert of international relations and neuropolitics. Sometimes for companies, sometimes for government, and also I'm an expert for the European Commission. In Moscow, currently I'm leading a program and a project called EU in the World. I try to spread the value of the European Union among young learners and the public opinion and the civil society.
Interesting. Thank you. The US elections, our topic, they are over now, so a kind of over. How do you assess the current situation? What is the status quo?
I would call over. Why? Because there are still consequences of the result of this election. Despite several courts designed the hand of this of the ballot box, no, that were people already made the decision, no? But I do not feel confident to say that this election are over. Why? Because as was news of the last night, Trump fired the head of the cyber security, and he's going to delay also the transition. Happened in the past, yes, but now with the pandemic that is affecting the world and is affecting the US, with if I'm not mistaken, 250 million of people that are already affected with the virus, I think it's a very tough move from the Trump administration, and also the statement that Mr. Pompeo, no, the head of the State Department, made in the last days. So I don't think that this battle is over, at least in terms of communication and transition. But it could be difficult also because I have the suspicion that this can delay also the delivery of the vaccine that are currently developed, and the companies that are involved in these are trying to deliver in the next weeks, if not in the next couple of months. So I think that the battle is not over. Trump is trying to use the last cards that he has in the pocket.
Before we go into politics, let us talk about the election campaign itself. What was special this time? What was the medium or channel that had the greatest impact on voters?
What I can say that we had a radical change from the previous election. Let me say from the first Trump Clinton battle and today. This happened because the main mediums were Twitter, Facebook, all the social media involved. And after the allegation of problem, or let me say, the unfair use of this social media, this big corporation, I had to change something. What the change? The change that you have to, when you declare something, there are moderators that say that this content is may contain not true information and so on, especially in the time of pandemic, yeah, where there are a lot of fake news or not right information. The social media played on the other side also a great role. What I can say, I can say that both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party use different media. So Trump kept going to use Twitter and social media, and on the other side, the Republican had the mistake to use and to play their rhetoric only through all channels as TV, their newspaper, and so on. The main difference is this, and this can lead also to an analysis of the vote, why we had and we have a country split in two, because the result of the election yes, made Trump win, but we have still, let me say, the Trumpism is not over.
Let's jump into the reasons. What's the reason behind the result that made Mr. Biden the winner?
Let me say that, as I was telling in my previous answer, no, the country is divided. The system that is used, the presidential election system that is used in the US is, I can say, is not equal. Why? Because you have this system of giving each state give a number, no, of delegates that then they will decide, and there is a disbalance in term of cultural division, people division, and so on. So my analysis is that we have still a country divided in two. So Biden is not fully the winner. That's why he declared that I'm not the only the Democratic president, but I'm the president of everybody. Why? To give a message to the nation, to say that, okay, the election are over, so let's be together, let's fight against the coronavirus, let's fight against the problem that we had. Of course, the difference between the past election and this election that gave us, as a result, Biden as elected president, is that we had a portion of people that were like, is always the independent, who I could say, no? So the voters of the independent candidates, they say, okay, maybe Biden is less dangerous now than Trump. Or maybe somebody that thought that Trump really in these in the last 4 years could change the destiny of the US, saw this promise not kept, no? And of course gave an opportunity to Biden.
What will change with this new Biden administration at the domestic and as well as the foreign levels?
The domestic, I think, will change a lot, because already Biden declared that we'll set up or modify some of the proposal that he already made with Obama. No, he will set up a new Obamacare that we can call Biden care. He will give the possibility, for example, to students to renegotiate their debts with the states in order to to repair in different ways. So he's not, as he declared, a full socialist, as could be, for example, Sanders. No, he said, no, I'm not a socialist, even not to scare that portion of people that voted for him and declared themselves as independent. So domestically, I think that they will try to have a boom as, let me say, following the Clinton mini boom that that we had, no, in during the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton administration. I mean. And some of the things will be also related with the Obama administration, but in a softer way. So we will not have this clash, no, of the black guy going to the White House, sending a very strong message. So I think the impact will be more in the words. How Biden will show his passion to the nation. So he is like a very experienced politician, 46 years in politics as a senator and so on. For what concerns the foreign policy, I do not see, in at least for the first year, for the first 2 years of this administration, big change. Why? Because the legacy that Trump left is very difficult. We had a clash with China. We had a clash with Russia that was not solved from the past, because still we are not able to negotiate a new agreement for the non-proliferation of the nuclear weapon. So we have some of the problem. We have still the problem with Iran. So, and also, I think that this new coalition of countries against the US that have been created will not disappear only with Biden. Just to remind Biden and the Obama administration, they push, no, some of the conflicts, especially in the Eastern Europe, no, the, in Ukraine. Now we have this also unpleasant situation in Minsk. So I think that Biden will have to walk on the ice, let me say, not very careful, or on the eggs, as we say in Italy. So you have to be very careful. In the first 2 years, I do not see great change in the foreign policy, despite this change are quite desired and hope, because we need a stabilization of the relationship with several countries. So we can't go to a clash with China, because this will lead to a new Cold War.
Yeah, especially, I mean, China and the Asian summit was just happening, and we are talking about a gigantic free trade area, which was confirmed with the RCEP program. 15 Asian members account for 30% of the world's population and 30% of global GDP. The current president, Mr. Trump, was playing golf. Is the USA saying goodbye to this area of growth?
I don't think, because this is a very important area. All of us, not only experts of international relations, but all of us as citizens, we are understanding, citizens of Europe even, no? As we are understanding that the world is moving in the area of Pacific, in the area of Indian Ocean, no? So toward that area of BRICS, Asian country, and so on. So we can't leave alone this group of country and let them be under control of China. As in one of my podcasts that I had, China is already controlling the Africa. So if we lead like Africa, Asian country, that they are the 30% of world GDP, and also represent 30% of world population. So then we leave the control of everything to China. That is not good. We need always a balance. We don't need two powers, but we need a balanced power. But of course, what afraid me that when the U.S. administration, U.S. administration will understand that they have to come back to that area of the world, I hope they will not will do it smoothly. They will not be afraid to leave them to China, and they will try to attack. So, you know, when you have a panic attack, that you overreact, yeah. And this is my concern, because now we have also the problem with Taiwan, Hong Kong. Let me say is lost from my point of view. No, Hong Kong is already under the full control of China. Under after this, let me say, year, you know, that we had this movement of people that were trying to fight to keep independent. But the real problem now is Taiwan. We will see the real action of and the real intention of America, how they will treat Taiwan. If they will go tough to protect Taiwan, then I think that there will be a misreading of the current situation in that area of the world, and we could have problem in for the next 10 years.
The US election is pretty much over. You will probably be busy for the next couple of weeks, still in doing the aftermath of the analysis. But what comes next? What is your business for the next, let's say, 12 to 24 months, Vincenzo?
Currently, I'm trying to analyze this election from a neuropolitics point of view. I want to understand what really led the people to vote or not vote for Trump. But for this, I need to work on data, to analyze a lot of things. And then, of course, I'm working as usual to Russian foreign policy. And this will be quite interesting, because now there is a connection between China and Russia in Africa. So Russia is trying to gain some territory and some position in peacefully, yeah, let me say, in Africa. And this will be very interesting for me, because everybody thinks that Russia and China, they are friends. So I'm trying to say that this is just a temporary, let me say, friendship, but not usual. So, and then I will be very careful to analyze the move that the European Union will do with this Biden administration, because I don't think that the trap left by Obama first and Trump then will change the destiny of the European Union in the world. So I'm afraid that the Europe will be in trap between China and America.
That was Vincent Ligorio from the Moscow Institute of Psychoanalysis about the US elections. Thank you for the interesting interview.
Thank you, Christian.
LTE.com, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. LTE.com.